We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's gonna go! Alvarez ties the game!
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
There's one thing I've learned in my life. It's when the sheriff of Erie County has a song request with which to go into an interview with the sheriff of Erie County, it usually behooves one to accede to his demand. We've also taken all the green M&Ms out of his bowl in the green room. Joining us right now on News Radio 930 WBEN to respond to some of what Governor Cuomo had to say during his comments today. We have the sheriff of Erie County, one of those evil men who has said he's not going to pull up to your house and count people around your Thanksgiving turkey, Tim Howard. Sheriff Howard, thank you very much for joining us. Much appreciated.
Well, thank you for doing the show.
Well, let's start off with, did you happen to hear the remarks Governor Cuomo made? And if you didn't, I will synopsize that basically sheriffs who do not enforce regulations of 10 or fewer people in a home are derelict in their duty, and that you did not say that you swore an oath to enforce only those laws with which you agreed. And I'd like your comments.
Okay, and I can't speak for the other sheriffs with absolute authority, but I really think that we're all feeling the same about that. Strangely, you're going to say, we agree with the governor. We took an oath to uphold the Constitution of the United States. Number one, before anything else, that is the law of the land. And I don't know where the governor went to law school.
Albany.
I didn't go to law school. No, yeah, but I did not go to law school. But I think I have a pretty good understanding of the Constitution and the right of the free people to be free from government intrusion in the privacy of their home was pretty clearly stated by the founding fathers. And again, I put the Constitution before any other of our man-made laws, and I'm abiding by the Constitution.
Now, the governor has used the Jacobson case of 1905, where Massachusetts tried to battle smallpox, basically imposing restrictions on the freedoms of individuals. But we've talked with attorneys like Steve Cohen from Hogan Willig, where my daughter's an attorney, full disclosure, who basically says, look, the state legislature had no right to give up its powers to Governor Cuomo. Therefore, any edict put out by Governor Cuomo is de facto and de jure null and void because the legislature had no business giving him the power to begin with.
Well, I can't disagree with that statement. I don't know what the legislature was doing or how much longer they're going to let this continue. But I do know if going back to the Constitution and what preceded it, the Declaration of Independence, I would encourage your viewers to go back and read those words and read the grievances that were listed and see how many of those grievances that led to the American Revolution are being committed now by the current governor, particularly in exercising this absolute authority and to the appointment of judges and to middle of the night type of legislation with no opportunity to be heard under the supposed message of necessity, the stuff we've been hearing about now for years. But I'm standing on my ground I'm 100% in any kind of good conscience in my own understanding of the Constitution of the United States. I'm sticking where I am.
Have you faced any blowback to your decree that you weren't going to use your personnel to enforce the 10-person and fewer 10-person rule?
No, I have not. I've just the opposite. I haven't gotten any negative calls myself. Some member of the legislature that's never worked at all in the private sector in the last 40 years, that he's denouncing law enforcement, but walk a mile in our shoes. We, particularly the sheriffs and the sheriff's deputies, we answer directly to the people. We do not answer to the governor.
So let me ask you a question about the inmates at the Erie County Holding Center. How often are they allowed visitors, and under what restrictions, even during COVID?
We have, previous to this last outbreak, we had reinstituted visitation, but we have canceled it again now. Otherwise, in normal circumstances, inmates are given 2 hours, a minimum of 2 hours of visitation a week.
And the reason I bring that up is because I've heard from dozens, if not hundreds, of people who have not seen their wives, their husbands, their mothers, their fathers, their best friends for almost a year now because of COVID. And I understand that the restrictions have been reinstituted again at the holding center, but it didn't seem fair to me that the nursing facilities had to meet what I consider to be an unrealistic metric in order to resume visitation. In other words, the inmates were getting a better deal than the seniors.
Yep, you put it very well. That's absolutely true, and it's been like that for years.
We are talking with Erie County Sheriff Tim Howard on News Radio 930 WBEN. Sheriff, can you talk to us about the Erie County Sheriff's Department and any issues you guys might have had with staffing because of COVID or COVID-related illnesses or quarantines?
Well, we took steps way back in March, did our own kind of task force and how we were going to approach this, and certainly, our personnel have worked a lot of overtime hours since then. We've split our four platoons actually into 8 platoons so that we could minimize how frequently our deputies even interacted with each other, to keep them as separate as possible, and cutting down on the number of car changes, or the number of people that were sharing cars on the road, et cetera. But we have been fortunate both in the jail, where we have had no COVID contracted by inmates that were actually in the jail. We've had a couple that have come in testing positive, but not further spread. And about a dozen of our employees have contracted it in their private lives, with no indication to suggest that they have actually contracted the disease while at work.
Sheriff Tim Howard is with us on News Radio 930 WBEN. And I want to ask you a question about the obligation and duty of your deputies to assist with the State Liquor Authority, the Department of Health of Erie County, or any other health-related or quarantine or orange zone-related entity. Are you under an obligation, and what is your position on sending deputies along with the various inspectors to restaurants and bars?
We have sent personnel along on a number of these investigations to stay in the background, to make sure that there is not any force or resistance by the individuals, that everything stays peaceful as they've completed those tasks. But we have not taken any proactive steps ourselves in doing those enforcements, other than doubling down on our underage drinking, which was already problematic. It's the only probably additional focus that we've had to put more efforts into that, because both the drinking as well as the bad decisions that are made while underage people are drinking, that could be problematic.
Sheriff Tim Howard with us on News Radio 930 WBEN. You know, the governor also, in his remarks earlier, which people heard live right here on WBEN, seemed to chastise the people of Western New York for not taking COVID-19 seriously. And like you, I get around. I get around to a lot of places all over the place and hang out with a wide range of people, as you do. And I will tell you that my personal observation is that people have been compliant. They've bitched about it. They've complained about it. They've questioned the efficacy of what they've been asked to do, but they're still doing it. So I thought the governor's comments, and this is a personal opinion, I thought they were out of line with reality because I've seen the reality.
I don't disagree with what you're saying, and I don't think that the governor holds up state New York in high regard. I think there's been plenty of examples of where he hasn't. But I would say, and I think you get your agreement, that government's role is to educate the people. It's to maybe to facilitate us in being safe and doing safe things. But it is not to force us into doing things. So I took a course a long time ago in plans change. If we want to change how people feel about things, then we need to get them involved in the decision-making and aware of why these are good decisions. And I think we have very responsible people in upstate New York that will do what is best for them, but they should decide what is best for them and not the governor. There's plenty of warnings that we got from our forefathers about allowing government to govern, they promise to be good masters, but what they're saying is they expect to be our masters, and that's not the way the governor talked about democracy and constitutional republic. It's not the way it's supposed to work.
No, and you know the whole idea, or one of the big ideas behind the Second Amendment, had nothing to do with hunting. It had everything to do with the fact that an armed population would keep the government from depriving it of its freedoms, because you know they knew that in Europe that basically. Because the civilians were pretty much restricted to swords and sabers, that an army with firearms would mow them down pretty easily.
I go back even further into the biblical times when that was one of the things that you couldn't even have the swords and the sabers or sharpen your own plowshares. You had to go to the controlling government to have them do that for you because you couldn't have the smith. That worked with metal because they could also make weapons. So, and then you'd go to the conquering parties and pay them ridiculous fees to do anything that you needed. So, plenty of warnings about this over history, and it's time for people to open up their eyes. It's easy to go along with evil. It's easier sometimes to go along with it than it is to challenge it. But if you don't challenge evil, it becomes more powerful and ultimately takes over.
Well, Sheriff, no one needs more than 10 plows to furlow an acre, to furrow one either. Tim Howard is the sheriff of Erie County on News Radio 930 WBEN. So as the county, most of it, or a good deal of the county, goes into orange, when you get a call from Gladys Kravitz saying, In my jurisdiction, it's the Erie County Sheriff's Department, and I'm telling you, the Stellianos have 50 people over for Thanksgiving. What are you going to do about it?
I guess we'll just say let's pray for them, right? Maybe. I mean, it can't absolutely predict that. We may pay a visit and encourage them to do different, but I don't think that's even very likely. That we'll be doing anything.
All right, Sheriff, anything else you'd like to say about the way the governor and his people, and for that matter, the county executive and his people, have handled A, COVID, and B, the recent spike in COVID? And it's funny that nobody's brought up Election Day. I keep hearing about parties and football games, but not Election Day.
Yeah. I guess just a message to them and message to the people is we know that there's dangers out there. We, not the government, are the persons or the individuals most responsible for our individual public safety, and we should all make responsible choices. But to this particular enforcement act or edict by the governor, it's too much, right? We need to make our own decisions. If we don't object to this, the next thing we'll have them coming in to check our thermostats or measuring your toothpaste to make sure everybody brushed their teeth. So,
if somebody, just so I'm clear on this, if somebody calls and says, "Hey, the barber shop down the street is open," and the DOH calls the sheriff's department and says, "We'd really appreciate an armed deputy to back us up," will you provide that service?
Yes. Well, yep. I mean, we will not be the ones going up to knock on the door with them, but we will stay in the background routinely doing that to assist other government officials in the performance of their duties. But we will not be taking the proactive approach. We won't be the ones that are knocking in the door. I did hear earlier the governor made a comment that this is not up to the state police to enforce. This is civil enforcement, and it would fall on local law enforcement. I seem to recall the different approach when the state police last summer were visiting a certain campground in the town of Concord that, in fact, was handled by them. So maybe the governor's picking and choosing when they will enforce the law and when they won't. I see a lot of hypocrisy coming from Albany.
Yeah, and we'll get into something. We're going to have a doctor on, an internist, Dr. James Harith, because I want to know what the data are to support the governor's contention that gyms and restaurants and barbershops are hotbeds of COVID, because from what I've seen, every restaurant I've been into, and I've been into a lot, believe me, they have all been very compliant. Sheriff Howard, is there anything that you want to get out to our public that I did not specifically ask you?
No, just be responsible and have a happy and safe Thanksgiving.
Well, you too, Sheriff, to you and all of the deputies, both on the road, the holding center deputies, the administrative staff, and everybody with the Erie County Sheriff's Department. Being in law enforcement right now is probably one of the least desirable and least appreciated jobs in the entire country for a lot of people, but not here, and I'm grateful.
Thank you very much. You stay safe as well.
Will do. Erie County Sheriff Tim Howard joining us on WBEN. And, you know, that's a very important argument, ladies and gentlemen, that I brought up with Sheriff Howard. And the argument is this, that anything Andrew Cuomo decrees is unconstitutional. Why is it unconstitutional? Because our state constitution believes in a system of checks and balances between the legislative, the executive, and the judiciary branches of power. We're supposed to, just like we do at the federal level, have three co-equal branches of government. The idea being that if any one branch got out of hand, the other two could put the brakes on egregious violations of our liberty. But when you have the state legislature, including, and you can look this up, some pretty popular local Republicans, when you get people like that who say, you know what, we're not taking any responsibility. We're not going to act as a check on Governor Cuomo. Governor Cuomo, you can do whatever the hell you please until April of 2021. That in itself is an unconstitutional act. They don't have the power to give up their power. And it's like anything Cuomo has said is really null and void and unconstitutional. That, in a nutshell, is the argument I thought I heard local attorney Steve Cohen making on this show last week. Now, coming up on WBEN, you're going to get a lot of information here today, and I'm also going to take some telephone calls. I know a lot of you guys are royally pissed off. I don't blame you. I feel like I just listened to a very condescending man in Albany who pretends he knows more about my listening area than I do. And you know what I look like. You see me around. You see me out at any number of places. And every place I have been, maybe with one exception, which I shan't name, with one exception, they have been absolutely, positively compliant with everything we were told to do. I've done a lot of house parties. I've done speakeasy nights at a certain establishment. Nobody came down with COVID. Nobody, not one person came down with COVID. And I'm not saying COVID is a hoax. COVID is real, but we can only do what we can do. And I have told you before, and I'll say it again, that I treat every surface I touch like it's filled with COVID, and every person I know as if they could give me COVID, and I behave accordingly. Now, there are exceptions. People to whom I am intimately close, there's a big difference there. All right, 327 at News Radio 930 WBEN. It is Bowerly, and coming up, we're going to get the latest on COVID from the medical perspective with Dr. James Harreth, very well-regarded internist here in Buffalo. So if you have questions for the doctor, you may call 803-0930, star 930 on the cell phone, and 1-800-616-WBEN. I know a lot of you have questions about the upcoming vaccines, its safety, how effective it is, et cetera, and whether Bill Gates is trying to microchip you to follow you around Disney World. On News Radio 930 WBEN.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice cold reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Western New York never lived the full pain of a COVID's wrath. Western New York read about New York City. They read about Long Island. They watched it on the TV news. But the numbers were never as bad in Western New York. And you want people to change dramatically their behavior. For me to make these dramatic changes in behavior, I have to believe this is real. And it wasn't real, because it wasn't real to me. You know when it becomes real? When it's real to me. I get it was real in New York City, but I'm in Buffalo. Buffalo is much different than New York City. And it wasn't real to me, like South Dakota. I believe that. I believe they didn't have the same level of fear. And what caused so many people in New York to change their behavior? It was the fear. Why do you guys wear the masks now? Oh, because you said we have to, there's a law that says. No, you wear the masks because you're afraid of COVID.
All right, that is Governor Andrew Cuomo basically bitch-slapping Western New York as if none of us were wearing masks, none of us were washing our hands, none of us were seated forward to a table, and we just disregarded every guideline put out by Albany. I beg to disagree. But joining us right now, we have a guy who's been here from the beginning of COVID-19 offering medical information, up-to-the-minute medical information, Dr. James Harreth, who is an internal medicine and pediatrics specialist right here in Buffalo, and he's affiliated with Buffalo General Medical Center. Dr. Harreth, always a pleasure speaking with you.
Tom, thank you so much for inviting me. I'm always happy to help our community here answer and to answer any questions that I can.
Well, let's start out with this. The idea that gyms and training sessions and barbershops and tattoo parlors are responsible for an uptick in COVID numbers, is that following the science?
You know, I don't have the data for the contact tracing. Evidently, some of the health departments in New York were looking at I believe it's the cell phone data of some of the patients before the initial spike in cases back in March and April and where they may have been beforehand. So I don't know if that actually is following the science completely. I don't say you can definitely say that that was a cause or not a cause, to be completely honest.
It would be interesting to know, too, how many of those people showed up in person to vote on Election Day.
Exactly.
I mean, to me, sometimes it's not so much what is included, it is what is excluded from research.
Exactly. And what we are noting is why are some people who are cohabitating with somebody who is a confirmed case and not getting infected, but yet you have somebody who is a confirmed case and then is a super spreader as well. We are still looking at, you know, those, you know, the variables that are involved with that too. So what we are noticing is that there is an increase in hospitalizations, ICU admissions within the last week and a half. And what we do know is that those numbers are usually related to whatever actions that may have occurred to, you know, 10 days to 14 days beforehand. So so that's kind of what we are looking at. Was it that, or was it Halloween parties, or, you know, so we're not too sure, you know, we're not at this point. But what we do know is that there is an increase in the number of hospitalizations and ICU admissions, and we can actually you know, count on that. I don't know whether we can actually truly look at the numbers with regarding percentages being positive, because I don't know what the numerator is. I don't know what the denominator is. I don't know whether it's a couple patients who may have been positive before and getting a repeat test to see whether they become negative. So I just don't have that data, but we do have the data for the number of admissions, and that's something that I've been kind of looking at and rely on myself.
Before we get into that data, let me ask you this. Is it not true that at this point, as opposed to back in March and April, you guys are more likely to admit somebody who tests positive for COVID-19 because the protocols are better? You have more and better PPE and ventilators, so you're not telling people to basically wait it out at home as much. You're telling people to be hospitalized, and that might be a reason why the numbers are up. Is that correct? Is it incorrect?
So that could be correct, but what we're also saying is that, you know, the people who are admitted, they definitely do need the oxygen, or they do need the ventilator. So, but that would be correct as well as if we are noticing a decrease in the number of patients who are expiring in their houses. We did see that in March, unfortunately. People were waiting too late. So I think in a little bit more time goes by, we'll actually be able to see whether that's true or not.
Now, in your time, but I know you mentioned that the admission rate is up, or the number of admission is up for people with COVID-19. In terms of the death rate of those who are admitted, do you have a better idea now in the medical community of the treatment protocol, a protocol which increases the odds of survivability?
Yes. So we are using the dexamethasone, the Decadron, which is the steroid for those people who are admitted and requiring oxygen. So there is criteria for that. Same thing with remdesivir. So you have to be admitted, you have to be requiring oxygen, and you have to have decent liver and kidney function to be able to get that medication as well. We are offering convalescent plasma, and there are trials out for the recombinant. I apologize. I'm a little tongue-tied. I apologize, but we are participating in trials for monoclonal antibody. I apologize.
No, I suppose we can let that one go by. Monoclonal antibody doesn't exactly spring to the tongue like sugar.
Yeah, I try not to say it three times fast.
Yeah, it's always a good idea. I try to stay away from words of more than two syllables. We are talking with Dr. James Harreth on News Radio 930 WBEN. So if I understand you correctly, even among those who are admitted, because of the increased knowledge of the proper pharmaceutical protocols, you are seeing less of a death rate of those who are admitted because at this point you know how to treat them better.
That is what it's looking at like right now. But what we are, the son of a gun thing about this virus is that if somebody does expire many times, it's not going to be within days. It can be within weeks. So we will have a better idea over the next couple of weeks. But from what we have seen over the last couple of months and the patients who have trickled in, we seem to be doing a better job. And not just here in Western New York. That's across the nation as well. So that is better. But those people who are incredibly high risk, those are the ones where, despite our best efforts, this can be a deadly virus. But it's the extremes of age, the multiple comorbidities, massive obesity. Those are the key things that, despite everything, they still have a tough time. But the other patients, we do have the other treatment modalities, and I'm looking forward to the vaccine.
Okay, and I know we're going to get questions on that. I'm going to take telephone questions for Dr. James Harreth. I mean, you got to understand, he's a busy guy, and he has taken time out of his rounding and his reporting and everything else to share information with you guys and all of us here in Western New York, for which we are very, very grateful. Is it time for St. Joe's? And I realize this is probably a question better directed for Mark at Catholic Health, but should we be thinking about turning St. Joe's into a COVID-only hospital again?
So I would definitely defer to my Catholic Health counterpart, because they did a fantastic job over there in using that particular model. My understanding is that they are closing down the ED over there so they can focus on more of an inpatient model as well. So if they feel that their numbers are at the right point, then yes, I give them a lot of respect. They did a fantastic job during this our first COVID crisis.
You know, this came up the other day with the governor to some extent, and I want to bounce this off of you. Why is it that so many of our Black brothers and sisters are seeing extreme complications from COVID-19? Is it the red blood cell?
You know, what we have noticed is that for that patient population, it was not necessarily their race, but we were looking at more of their comorbidities than anything else. So if it was an individual who is an African American, but they also have obesity and type 2 diabetes and hypertension, and so then they were at risk. And that's kind of pretty much what we noticed. So independent of race, we really found that if you had the other comorbidities, that was more of a problem. And then we're going to be looking at more public health as well, and how can we reach out to our patients of color that are suffering from some of these comorbidities, and what can we do as a hospital, you know, set of hospital systems to reach out and go, hey, what can we do to improve our public health? That's definitely going to be the next step. And once we get through this pandemic, that is something that I'm sure we're all going to want to do and explore and put a big focus on.
We're talking with Dr. James Harreth, internist and pediatric specialist here in Buffalo. He is with Kaleida. We'll try to touch base with Mark Sullivan from Catholic Health in just a little bit. I'll be busy texting while I'm on the air, so if I sound disjointed, that's what it's all about. I'll tell you what, Jimmy Love, is Alan ready to do traffic right now? Because if he is, I would just as soon get traffic done before we start taking calls for Dr. James Harreth. And if there's nothing much going on in traffic, he can make it a quickie. I've been known to do that from time to time.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.
WBEN 7 First Alert forecast. Tonight, partly cloudy, a few flurries. It's going to be breezy by morning. Overnight low near 27. Thursday, gusty winds, milder air, and 55. Right now, Jimmy Love, it is how many degrees? Well, that doesn't matter. When I was driving in, my car thermometer said 32. So we'll just call it 32. Jimmy Love is sitting in for Phil. And just so you know, Phil, there's so much that Phil does behind that glass to help me out. And Jimmy Love, he has to get into the routine. Yes, Jimmy, 36. All right. That's the Bowerly School of making up a temperature and hoping you're in the ballpark. It's 36 degrees right now. But somewhere in Western New York, it's also around 32. You know, I'm just saying. All right. I mean, or 69. If the further you south you go, you know. Dr. James Harreth is with us on WBEN. We've got people with questions for you. Jimmy Love, would you please bring aboard line number two, Mark in Albion. Would you do the honors? And hopefully when you press on the button, we shan't lose Dr. Harreth. Mark, welcome. You're on WBEN.
Thank you. Doctor, early on, I had read a study online that said there was actually two types of COVID-19. There was one that said that had a high mortality rate, but a small percentage of people would get it. And the other one had a high percentage rate of people getting it, but was not deadly. Do you know anything about that, and why aren't they telling us that?
So, and again, we have to remember this is a virus that's incredibly new. You know, so all the other viruses, you know, we've been looking at has been around for decades or longer. So we have a larger volume of data to be able to distribute to our populations. So, and I did look at that, and it does seem like that right now it's not entirely clear which viral type is the most prominent at this time. But
can you confirm that there are, in fact, two separate COVID-19, the one with the higher mortality and the other not so bad?
Yes, and then there's questions. There's probably more. You know, this thing does not mutate as much as influenza, at least that's my understanding. So, but it does. You know, so there is this thing does mutate. So there is a possibility that that's true. And then it's not just this virus, but other viruses. One type will just take over as the prominent type of virus versus the other. So.
Let me ask you this. Last week or the week before, the county health department said it was going to change the criteria under which it would do COVID-19 testing. It was only going to test people with symptoms and people who had been around people with symptoms. Isn't that going to skew the number of cases detected?
Absolutely. Yeah. So that's going to you're going to change your numerator and your denominator is not going to, you know, change. So your percentage positive is not going to be indicative of the entire population. So that's the problem. That's the problem with those types of numbers. That's why the numbers that you can't fudge are who's admitted to an ICU, who's on a ventilator. So, you know, that's at least a number that you can't fudge. That's a person in an ICU room. So,
and where are we right now, Dr. Harith, with those numbers?
We are going up. We have been going up for the last 2 weeks. During the summer, we got to the point where there was almost nobody in the hospital. So right now, you know, we're, you know, close to like, you know, 30 at Buffalo General and maybe 20 over at Suburban. So we are going up. And the question is, yeah, and again, this is where we're going to be in two weeks from now, because these numbers are based upon whatever actions or may have occurred 2 weeks ago. And if there's going to be a little bit of a change or a difference, we're not going to see those differences for a couple more weeks.
All right, let's go to Dorothy in Springville, who says she is a registered nurse, with a question for Dr. James Harith. Dorothy, go ahead.
Hi, doctor. Thank you for being on today. I am interested in prevention. I've always been public health. I personally take oral zinc, and when I'm around a high volume of people, like when I have to go grocery shopping, I usually pop a zinc throat lozenger, the equivalent of a Zicam or something. Can you explain why zinc is so efficacious? I understand that zinc blocks the uptake channels so that the virus cannot get into the cell, pass from...
All right, Dorothy, a good question. I'm sure one that many have. I've been doing, as Dorothy has, the zinc, the vitamin D, and the vitamin B. Am I wasting my money? Any evidence that that even helps?
Well, looking at the data, what's not... Here at Kaleida, we have a huge data dump, and there's a better term for that. But
yeah, we have some of those at the station, too.
Yeah, so we have a fantastic crew of physicians, pharmacists, you know, that are constantly scanning through the literature. And I don't have anything that's definitive to say that it's fantastic against the coronavirus, but there isn't, you know, if you take it as directed and you don't take too much, it's not going to hurt, you know. So but like I said, it's a new virus, and people are going to be looking at that. So I don't know exactly, you know, what that's going to do for coronavirus if that's this time. It's too early, you know. So if you feel that it's working for you and it's not hurting and you're not overdosing, that's great.
Yeah, overdosing, not the way anybody wants to go. Dr. James Harith, I have one, well, I've got a ton of questions, but I realize your time is limited, so I'm trying to hit the biggies. And one of the biggest questions I think a lot of people have is, okay, so somebody wore the mask, somebody washed hands constantly, somebody socially distanced and did everything they were supposed to do and still ended up with COVID. How many people have you talked to who've said, doctor, I don't understand how I got it?
We have seen a couple. Yes, we have seen a couple. And the question is, you know, at what point was it a perfect situation? So when we are going in to see a patient who is positive for COVID, there is strict guidelines on how I don and doff my PPE, how do I put it on and how I put it off. And in some other places as well, especially in the military, you have people watching you just to make sure. You know, so even just one small slip, how many times do you touch your nose or touch your eyes and don't even realize it until you somebody else has noticed that? So that could be a possibility, and especially through the eyes, and that's the concern. You know, so were you taking off your mask, you're all set, and then you had a little itch near your nose, near your eye, that could have been enough to inoculate you. You know, so, and we're still learning about the amount of virus, the droplet size, you know, what is enough to cause that, to then inoculate you and then become symptomatic. So that would be what I would say is, if you followed everything, it's like, you know, was there something that you may have missed as a possibility? Or were you indoors and was it a perfect amount of aerosolization and airborne virus that could have caused it as well? So, but no, we do see that. But for the majority of the time, people are able to identify, yes, I was in a room with my employee, you know, we didn't have our mask for that moment. It was less than 15 minutes. And, you know, 3 days later, they were symptomatic, got tested, and they were positive, and they were positive. So that's what we're seeing in the majority wise. But otherwise, there is a small subset that it's not entirely clear.
Well, Dr. Harith, I hope I don't have to see you anytime real soon. But just remember, if I do, morphine and Dilaudid are my friends.
That's right. Thank you, sir.
All right, Dr. James Harreth on News Radio 930 WBEN. It never hurts to put the word out. I'm just saying. It is Bowerly for Loctite waterproofing. Hey, how many of you irresponsible social people were at somebody's house over the weekend and you went into the basement thinking, I'm going to watch a football game in the basement because you think of your basement and all those creepy crawlies you got in the basement. I found a toad once in my basement. I kid you not. An old, huge toad. I could not believe it. But I let him outside. I love animals. So anyway, long story short, you were blown away by how awesome your neighbor's basement was. There's the TV. There's a leather sofa. Oh, look, computer workstation so the kids can remote learn. Oh, an area to work out so you don't blimp out like Tom did. Well, what you want to do is call Loctite Waterproofing. Loctite Waterproofing, A-plus rated, members of the Better Business Bureau and Home Improvement Council. To have that dream basement, it's got to be waterproof, guys. So call Loctite Waterproofing. And they're already booking up big time, so get yourself on the list. The list. Get yourself on the list. Not AOC's list, but Watertight's list. Loctite's list. 633-2100. That's 633-2100. Do it right with Loctite Waterproofing.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during O'Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, oh.